I want to thank you, Lord, for your words that you have spoken. Lord, that in your word we have the truth. Lord, that the truth that sets people free and helps us to understand the greatness of your love, the foolishness of sin, and Lord, the greatness of what you've done in order to rescue us. Just ask your blessing, Father, and your help for all of us as we share together now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right, the amazing testimony of Mr. Timpson. Mr. Timpson. It's a story that's found in Luke. We're going to read it. I've got it written up in a moment. But Mr. Timpson, he's also known as somebody else, of course. He's a blind man. You can see that he's blind, can't you? Timpson. Well, let's go to our next page, shall we? And this will help you. Yes. They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Bartimaeus is Aramaic for the son of Tim. Yeah, Timpson, we call him, wouldn't we? Right, so it's Mr. Timpson. The thing that strikes me about this is that I don't suppose there is any great significance in it, but it just struck me anyway, is that we don't know his first name. He's known by his surname, we call it now, wouldn't we? Oh, are you Timpson? Yeah. Right? And when they call you by your surname, it's usually something serious, of course. But we don't know his first name. And maybe there's a reason why the Holy Spirit's left that out, is that you can fit your own name in on this one. You know, it applies to so many people. Not that they were born physically blind, or I don't know how you got to be blind, it doesn't say. But there's something about this man. A man without a name. Put your name in this morning and see how we get on with the story, yeah? So let's go to our next bit, please. So here it is. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Amen. Wonderful. Maybe you've heard the story 100 times, I guess. But there's some things I want to share with you, which I think are really, really important for us all to take a hold of. So let's look at our next picture. Before we get any further, there's what appears to be a contradiction between the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. And in Luke, we read that as Jesus approached Jericho. But in Matthew and Mark, we get as Jesus was leaving the city of Jericho. So how can you approach it and leave it at the same time? There's two Jerichos. Right, there's the old one. You know the Joshua fought the battle of Jericho one? Right? Well, eventually somebody decided, in their folly, to rebuild the place near Jericho, because it was quite a nice spot. There was a water supply and everything else. It's called the City of Palms. You don't get palms without water, do you? Right? So they rebuilt the old Jericho, but in the time of Jesus, King Herod, he was forever building things. He built a new bit. And it's the new bit which is there today. We can see down there. You can see the palms now, can you? Mm-hmm. City of Palms, that's the new Jericho. So as he was leaving one and going into the other, you get it. You get the point, right? So that's how we are. Right? And oh, just in case you don't know, where is Jericho? Jericho is just above the Dead Sea there, right? Okay, so you got that. And Jesus is on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. As he's going through that area, this is where the thing happens. Right, then next please. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. A familiar scene for people in those days. People who were disabled, particularly blindness is a serious disability, of course. People who were disabled couldn't earn a living, really. And so what they did was they put themselves in some prominent spot and just hoped that some charitable passers-by would help them. In fact, God had commanded the Israelites, I don't know if you're aware of this, but God had commanded the Israelites to to look after and provide for those that were unable to be able to care for themselves. You know, God's a God of compassion, and he said to keep an eye open for those that were in real need. Well, here we have, shall we call him John? John Timpson. I don't know if that was his name, but we'll call him John, shall we? It's John Timpson, right? So there's poor old John, sat by the roadside, as I suspect as usual, hoping that something's going to be given to him. Right, so there we are. Next slide, please. So, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Eh? What's happening now? Can you read a little bit of that? Curiosity can be a good thing. Did you know that? I mean, he could have thought, well, one of them days, just a bit of noise, wait till they've all gone and then I'll be able to ask for some more money or something. Yeah? But he hears this kerfuffle going on, and so he's curious. Are you a curious person? I want to encourage you. This is one of the things I want to encourage you to be, a curious person. If you ever stop learning, you'll stop living. Yeah? Always on the lookout for new things. Not that you're dissatisfied with the way things are, but, you know, I just give you a perfect illustration. My little daughter, Angela, when she was tiny, illustrated what I was as well. I'm a curious sort of guy, you know. There was someone playing with one of these plastic toys, you know, a little wind-up machine. You put it on a little car, you wind it up, you put it on the ground, and off it went. Well, my Angela, she picked up the car, and she didn't wind it up, she turned it upside down to see how it worked. Right? That's good! Find out how things work. That doesn't mean to say I have to smash them all up and break them up, and I've done that. Yeah, I've learned since then, you know. Sometimes if it isn't broken, you don't fix it. I usually like to see how things work. Curiosity is really good. Yeah? And this man, because he was curious, wanted to know what was going on. Right, so there's a bit of an unusual kerfuffle, and so he's interested. So I'm encouraging you, use your eyes. Look around you. It's a fantastic world. There's things to discover. Yeah? You want to become a child again? Children are mad, and dogs. Become a dog if you're not a child. Yeah? Have you seen them when they got puppies taking them up? They're into everything. Yeah? It's the excitement of seeing things anew. Well, a kid can do that to help you as well. Okay, so he's on the lookout, but they can't see. He's wondering what's going on. So next slide, please. Right? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Right, wow, yeah, well, there he's off. As soon as they tell him that Jesus is going by, he starts shouting out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I put a question at the bottom there. How did what he say tell us what he knew? What did he know?
The Bible. Well, sorry, the scripture.
He knew the scripture, but he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What did he know?
He must know.
He's heard about Jesus for a start. Somebody's been talking. Someone's mentioned this Jesus of Nazareth. He can do some amazing things, right? So that's number one he's learned. He's been listening as well as just begging, right? He's heard about Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? Good thing to start with. Gossip about Jesus. Yeah, people might get interested, you know. Right, so they've talked about Jesus, but it doesn't stop at that. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What does he mean by son of David?
He knew his
Bible, and he believed something about Jesus. What does son of David mean? It's longhand for Messiah. He believes the Messiah's arrived. Son of David is the title of the Messiah. Yeah? So he's giving Jesus his proper title. Jesus, you're the Messiah. And if you're the Messiah, help me. Yeah? He's a smart guy. Right? So he's calling out and he's heard about Jesus. He's put two and two together. Smart guy. Right? He's had time to think about it. If this Jesus is coming around doing things, then he's the things that are promised in the Bible. He's the Messiah. If he's here, I'm going to ask him to have some mercy on me. Why does he cry out for mercy? That tells us something else.
He knew he needed help.
Right? Mercy is a cry for help. It's not saying, I'm deserving. It's saying, I'm needing. Yeah, a bit different. Right? I need your help, Jesus. So he cries out to Jesus. Next slide, please. So, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Yeah, people tell me that one before, I bet, have you? Right. Did they think he's a nuisance?
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. And also, what else are they thinking? Jesus hasn't got time for you, boy. Timson, Jesus hasn't got time for you. More important things. Yeah? Isn't it funny what people assume about Jesus? Yeah? And it's all wrong, most of the time. Yeah? And so they tell him to be stoned. Right, that's great, isn't it? Wonderful. They think he's a nuisance. So, be quiet! You're stopping the good flow of things, right? Sad, isn't it? Have you been one who's got in God's way? Because are they getting in God's way? You realise that, don't you? We can. They can do it with good intentions. We don't want Jesus messing around with this. What you know is, we're trying to look after Jesus. Jesus does not need looking after. Okay, so, they tell him to be stoned. But, what's the next thing? He says, they told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Right, isn't that good? Perseverance. Have you got Uncle Percy in your cabinet? Right, you better have. Perseverance. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Yeah. In all of things in the kingdom of God, usually perseverance is needed to get there. Yeah. God provides, but he's also like the manna. The manna fell out of the sky, didn't it? And all they had to do was get up and get it. It didn't fall into their tents in the dishes. It was out there, they had to go and get it, right? So in God's kingdom, quite often, the blessings are available, but you've got to do something about it. Yeah? So, persevere. So, here he is, shouting, Son of David, all the more, have mercy on me. So, question here it is. How does faith and desperation help you to respond to discouragements? You know, when things don't quite run the way you want, things get discouraging, does your faith kick in? Do the discouragements make you think, I'm not giving into this? Or do you say,
just keep trusting.
Keep trusting. If at first you don't succeed, pack it in. Is that your motto?
No.
It's not his. If he had thought that, he'd still be blind. Right, okay, so persevere. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants you to keep going. Yeah, right, so there you go. Next one, please. Right, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. How about that? Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Isn't that wonderful? Just think of that word, ordered. Yeah? Jesus wasn't not interested. He was very interested. He ordered the people, oh, you lot, they're telling him to be quiet. Get him here. Right, so, Jesus responds to the call. Do you know he still does? Yeah. Jesus responds to the call of the heart that's needed, right? So, here he is crying out. Jesus is fine-tuned to the call of the needy. Praise the Lord for that. Just as well, isn't it? So, even if you can't make it out loud, you can still call out. He's there for you. Right, so, Jesus responds. Next thing, please. So I'm taking a little bit out of Mark's Gospel now. We've read Luke's and we're in Luke, really, but here Mark has some nice little details that are extra. Right, so they call to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. So there we have a beggar with his cloak on. And question, why did he leave his cloak? Two reasons, at least.
It said who he was, didn't it?
Right. The cloak says who he is. He's a beggar, right? Why did he leave his cloak?
Because he didn't need it anymore.
You know something's going to happen. He's believing, he's trusting, yes. But why did he leave his cloak? Simple one to start with. He's got to be something different. That's the complicated one. A simple one. Why did he leave his cloak? So he wouldn't get in the way. He's not getting stopped by some rotten old cloak. Yeah? Get rid of the stuff and I'm off to Jesus. No hindrance for the feet. Get rid of the cloak. That's the simple one. But of course, the second reason is, in faith he's saying is, I'm leaving the begging business. Yes? I'm not coming back to this. I'm leaving it behind. Isn't that wonderful? Yes? So that's what he's doing. He's trusting. If Jesus calls, he's called to Jesus. If he hears Jesus call, he knows something's going to happen. So he leaves his cloak behind. He's saying goodbye to the old. And that's what Jesus wants you and me to do, you know, when he calls you. There are things, the old cloaks, that need to go. They'll hold you up. a symbol of the old life, dump it. Right, so he does that. Next slide, please. Right, when he came here, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? There, and I've asked the question, think about it, why isn't that a dumb question? I mean, anybody who sees a blind man coming towards you, and, you know, what are you expecting him to say? I'd like to see. Yeah? So why does Jesus say to him, what do you want me to do for you?
He wants him to say it out loud.
He wants him to say it out loud. Yes? He wants him to put it into words, what he wants in his heart. Right? Very important principle, we can count this in terms of prayer. God knows what you want. But what does God want you to do?
Ask.
Spell it out. Tell him. Right? There's something about saying it that focuses it. Yes? Puts your eye onto him and makes it clear, crystal clear, what's going on. And Jesus wants him to ask. Good to ask. You know? And the lovely thing is, when you ask Jesus, he won't say, well, that was a stupid thing to ask for. You've had it. No, no. He takes it on board. He'll answer it in his own wonderful way. But right, so, it wasn't a dumb question. Jesus wants him to think about what does he really want? Do you, and of course, when Jesus is calling you, he's calling you to a new life, right? You have to think about, I'm leaving the old, all this stuff, yeah? What do you really want? Is it just a temporary fix? Just want to see, back to the old ways? Or do you want to really have a new life? That's what's going on for you. Right, next slide, please. So, he says, Lord, I want to see. Be specific. Spell it out. Okay? Right. I don't want my old life anymore. I want a new one. Right. Be specific. I put the spider in its little cobweb there. Just as a reminder for me. So, have I told you this story? In the prayer meeting. Not our prayer meeting. This is one that's told. About the prayer meeting where they used to meet together to pray. We should meet together to pray, by the way. Just throw that one in. But they met together to pray. And every week, the same man stood up and said, oh Lord, blow away the cobwebs of our life. Right? Every week, same old prayer. Oh Lord, blow away the cobwebs of our life. Right? And some little lady got a bit tired of hearing the same old prayer all the same old time. Nothing wrong with saying the same prayer, by the way. Yeah? But what did she do? She stood up and said, oh Lord, kill the spider! Get specific! Lord, deal with my problems is one thing. Lord, deal with that one! And we're talking business! I want to see, he says! Yeah, I want to see! Get these eyes fixed, Lord, please! Yeah? Get specific about your prayers. I really do encourage you about that. Get specific. Yeah? And then the good thing about being specific about your prayers is, when the Lord answers them, you know he's answered them. Yeah? I mean, if you say, oh Lord, bless me, that's okay. He may be blessing you, but how do you know he's blessed you? If you haven't got the tick list. Don't like to say tick lists are important, but you've got the idea. Be specific. Next then, please. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Isn't that amazing? Receive your sight. Jesus said to him, he didn't touch his eyes or anything, did he? Yeah. Isn't that strange? You can read about how Jesus healed blind people. He did it different every time. He deals with individuals according to their individual needs. That's because he's a good doctor. Yeah. He doesn't have a little checklist of how to do it. He knows you personally and what's necessary. So he says to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. So why does Jesus put such emphasis on his faith? Your faith has healed you.
Well, he didn't give up.
He hadn't given up, yes, that's true.
But he's also a believer in God.
He's a believer, he's trusting in the Lord. And basically, Jesus puts the emphasis on faith because that's where the power comes, dear friends. You trusting connects you to the power supply. That's what makes the difference. Your faith has healed you is, well, it wasn't his faith, we'll see that in a moment, but it wasn't necessarily his faith that healed him. It's Jesus heals him, but faith connects him to Jesus. You need a connection. And it's faith that does that. So let's have our next picture, please. Yeah. So your faith has healed you. It's faith in who Jesus is and what he'll do. He believed Jesus was the Messiah. He believed that the Messiah was going to have mercy on him. So that's his faith. He's actively trusting in what Jesus is. And he's believing what Jesus will do is what Jesus will do. As Jesus can. Yeah. So And the interesting thing is, I'd like to say this, he could see before he was healed. What do I mean? He could see before he was healed.
He knew
what was going to happen, yes?
But also because he believed, you know, it would happen.
He believed it, no, it would happen, yes? But that's not what I mean.
He didn't worry about getting up and running to Jesus.
He didn't.
And yet he couldn't see.
But, well, that's true. Yeah, no. You haven't got what I'm after yet.
He believed Jesus was the Messiah.
Yes. He really, the thing that you really need to see, if you're as blind as a bat, doesn't matter. If you really get this, Jesus is God's son, and he loves you, and he's willing to save you, you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah? If you're as blind as a bat, physically, if you've got that, you're seeing, really seeing, what the reality is. But of course, there's a physical side to it as well. So, he really could see who Jesus was before he saw Jesus himself. Next slide, please. Right, so, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. The first person he saw was Jesus. Isn't that good? Wow. Right, the first person he saw was Jesus, and what did he do? He followed Jesus and praised Jesus. Jesus wants followers, right? That's what he's after. Jesus wants followers. Yeah? No good admiring Jesus from the sidelines. He wants followers. And this man, when he'd received his blessing, got up, praised the Lord, and followed Jesus. Brilliant. Yeah? You followed him. How do you follow Jesus? Because he's not physically in the room in that sense. How do you follow him?
Praying.
Actions. What sort of actions? Well, I'm going to be speaking this afternoon about the marriage of Canaan. Yeah? And Mary gave us the best advice that Jesus' mother ever gave. When they... What was it?
Do what he tells you.
Do what he says. Whatever he tells you to do,
do it.
That's how you follow him. Yes? Right? If you call me Lord, well, make sure he is Lord. Right? So... He gets up and starts following. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah? Right, go on. He's starting a new life altogether, this child. Wonderful. Next slide, please. Right, when all the people saw it, they also praised God. There they are, there's a bunch of them. Oh, you know those that told him to shut up?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're praising God now. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? If only they'd realised, yeah, but anyway, the Lord overruled. Yeah, but they're praising God now. And he says, they praise God. And I've written under there, they were glad when he was blessed. That's a test for you, isn't it?
They were glad.
They were glad when he was blessed. Right? How are you on that one? Right? There you are with all your needs and all your challenges and all your difficulties, and God goes and blesses somebody else.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, you say. And then you say, Lord, you missed him. Should have been me. Right? Yet no? Well, they're glad. If God's getting the glory, God's at work, it's good. And if God's at work, you might be next in line, you know, there's possibilities there. Right, so they were glad when he was blessed. And so they should be. You know, we're human beings, we're in it together. And when we see God blessing somebody else, partly, you know, you're being blessed as part of this human family as well. So, and you never know how it's all going to work out, but they're glad. Then I think my last one is the next one, please. I think so. Could be, yes. Jerusalem to Jericho. There's a picture of the road today. It's got a modern highway on it nowadays. But you can see it's a pretty steep incline. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. Did you know that? Yeah? The lowest point on earth is the Dead Sea. To go up to Jerusalem is a pretty steep climb. And it was in those days dangerous. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan? Jesus says the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Down literally, yeah? It's a dodgy place, rocks, hiding places, dangerous, yeah? But Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. And it's a one-way journey Jesus is on. He's going up to Jerusalem, the only direction he's going. Jesus, I want to just spell this out, this is really the practical thing for us. Jesus won't be going through Jericho again. Yeah? This is the last time Jesus goes through Jericho. He won't be going that way again. So, how do you think old Bartimaeus, John, felt? I don't know. Perhaps he had an inkling. This is my first and my last chance. I've got to make this one work. Yeah? So, he is desperate to get to Jesus, because Jesus is not passing this way again. And friends, I just want to say that's true, you know. The opportunity to receive Jesus will never happen again, as far as he's concerned, and it may be true for some of us here today. You know, the opportunity that Jesus provides for us is a moment one. You can't guarantee tomorrow. That's how it is. And the chances that the Lord provides in your life are for the now, not for the then, or whatever, yeah? So, let me spell it out simply this, yeah? Right? Make the most of this day, these opportunities that God gives you. Yeah? That's the way to live. I think it was in some of the Bible notes this morning. Something about that. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Seize this day, because it's a gift from the Lord. Jesus is passing by today. You may not be able to reach out to him tomorrow. So the chances are, probably will, but you don't know. Make sure today you take full advantage of this opportunity to respond to Jesus. Is there anybody here that has never asked Jesus into their hearts? Today may be your last day. I'm not saying it is, but that could be the case. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So, invite him in if you haven't. And if Jesus is here and he wants to bless you, yeah, you tell him specifically what you're asking for. And we'll trust that he will do what's best for you, eh? In his own individual way, of course, because you're the individual that he's dealing with. So I think that's it. Is that the last one? It is, yes. Back to Mr. Timpson. Amazing story. It was true. Really happened. Yeah? But there's so many lessons that we can learn out of it. I hope I've shared a few for you to think about. Yeah? But the one that I really want to say is, you know, now is the time to receive Jesus' blessings. Because today is the time he's given you. Tomorrow is another day. Pray it'll be a good day for you. But we'll leave that in his hands, eh? Let's just pray. Loving Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to help. You hear the cry of those who call out to you for mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to stop on the journey. It was the end road for you, Lord. You're going to Jerusalem to die. But Lord, you spent time caring for this dear man, Lord, and his life was changed. Thank you that he not only saw physically, that he saw the truth of who you are. Lord, help us to see that. I realize that, Lord, it's a spiritual thing. We cannot understand, we cannot see unless the Holy Spirit turns the light on for us. Lord, help us to know you and understand who you are a little bit better, Lord, and to know you and love you because of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You came to bring light into the world. You came to bring hope. And Lord, thank you. His story, Mr. Timpson, Bartimaeus' story, Lord, is one that can, for our lives, whatever physical needs are here this morning, I just pray, Lord, you minister, Lord, to the specifics that folks' needs are. Lord, you know every cell of our bodies. You know every need that we have, every emotional situation we're faced with, Lord. Lord, help us to spell it out to you, Lord. You know beforehand. Lord, you're not frightened or ashamed of the things that we can bring to you. Lord, you're willing to hear and you're willing to help. Lord, may we seek your face. Lord, I pray. It's a general prayer, Lord, but it's true for all of us. Lord, have mercy on us. We ask it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.